Back-to-school plans continue to evolve due to our global health crisis. This is Lisa Berry, and among those making some last-minute changes is Eastern Michigan University. Joining us now on 89.1 WEMU is the president of Eastern, Dr. James Smith, who just announced a change for students moving to campus and how some classes will be taught. Welcome. Hope you're holding up okay.
Thank you, Lisa. My pleasure to be with you.
I think the word of the day, or the month, or the year needs to be flexibility. I'm thinking you would agree with that.
I would agree 100%.
What change of plans have you announced for Eastern Michigan University?
So we put out a series of notices, first to our internal faculty and staff audience, our students, and then to the media, that we're going to delay the in-person aspect of our work by 3 weeks. So think of move-in being this Thursday. We're going to move in 3 weeks from Thursday. Think of first classes on the 31st. We'll now go to September 21st in-person classes. We have a few exceptions to that. We have some clinical labs and things that relate to the health sciences that they actually have to be done in person before that September 21st date. But we'll notify those students. The faculty are already aware. The deans are already aware. Just in the height of safety, the height of taking precautionary action. One of my colleagues sent me a note today and said, is this the belt and suspenders approach? And I laughed and I said, well, you might look at it that way, that we really want to be doubly cautious. As we come back, we have absolute anticipation we'll come back, but we feel like we want to see some of the trends that are surrounding those next 3 weeks.
So I think it's first important to reemphasize that the fall semester will begin as scheduled.
Correct. We'll just about 25, I don't know the exact number, Lisa, but 25%, let's just say, we're going to be in-person classes anyway. The rest would have been online and hybrid. That 25%, sans the few that I mentioned that would be exceptions, would now move to online for 3 weeks. And then come on the 21st of September, that's a Monday, we would begin those in-person format.
I'm assuming a lot of different thought and effort went into coming to this decision, consulting with different entities at the university, seeing what's happening elsewhere with schools around the country.
Absolutely. We have a really great public health advisory committee. Provost Longworth and I spent the weekend speaking to members of that committee. We've had deep discussions with our friends at IHA and St. Joe Hospital talking about what are the best of the science determinations. And Labor Day is a big factor there. We mentioned that in our release, and I certainly want to say it to the listening audience that we want to see, is there a big spike at Labor Day? If there is it contained to certain parts of the state? Is it maybe not in our state, but in other states? And then how do we adjust our testing protocol based on that? That's really the reason. University of Minnesota went back on the 14th. They just announced a delay also. I believe theirs was Friday. And we felt like that would not give us enough time to see if there was a significant increase in COVID cases from Labor Day to that 14th when we started. Basically, Labor Day would be over on Monday, and we'd be moving students in on Thursday if we went to that 14th date. And that's why we kind of circled the 21st on our map.
But some students are already on campus. What will be the impact for them?
Well, they'll stay, and we have some moving in. For example, the marching band is practicing, and people will say, well, why would you have a marching band practicing? There's not a football season. They have competitive band events that they'll be part of, and our students that want to teach instrumental music have to have marching band credits, have to have a certain number of them to meet their licensure standards. So those students will move in, they'll have their band practices, they'll do what they typically do. ROTC, for example, has an orientation week, which is a physical fitness safety week prior to when they'll have their online classes starting. So we have groups, international students, for example, are moving in, and we'll continue to do that. As you think of an online course, it is as transferable as anything, so they can do their online coursework for those first 3 weeks through their residence hall.
And some students who've already paid for dining will see some bit of a refund?
Correct. We'll be doing both housing and dining. It comes as a credit on your university statement. It's just too clunky to write checks for that as a refund itself, Lisa. But for example, if I was a student, I got my billing, I would see a billing credit for what is the equivalent of 3 weeks of dining or 3 weeks of lodging, or in cases of most students who live in the residence halls, dining and lodging.
And of course, with a change like this, there's going to be plenty of questions from students and from professors. What do they do with those? Where can they get answers?
Well, we'll have a number of, for example, Residence Life. They all have gotten emails from Residence Life now. They have a telephone number to contact. Faculty are reaching out to their students, specifically those that are in that group that I said will be a little atypical that have to be on campus. If the faculty doesn't reach out, the dean certainly does. We've been clear. The provost office is happy to take questions. If you email, for example, president@emish.edu, our staff can always send around some questions as well to the appropriate areas. The deans will be able to answer for the courses and the content in their respective colleges. We know that there'll be a lot of questions. Again, I would love to have said I had that crystal ball that I mentioned in the release. I wish I had a crystal ball and we could have done this, 4 weeks ago so people didn't have a change to their advanced planning. But it hasn't worked that way since the middle of March, as you well know, Lisa. And we modify and adjust in much quicker ways than we have historically.
I know a lot of people get frustrated or have questions, but bottom line, this is all new territory, and it sounds to me like you're doing whatever you can to make sure everyone stays healthy.
Well, I would say that, absolutely, but I'd also say that, we have a steering committee that's been working on this. I've gotten their input. I got actually a resolution from the Faculty Senate Executive Board asking us to take a little time and do some more investigation. Our executive council has looked at this, all with that eye on student, faculty, staff, health and safety, and this was a decision of lots of people in a very big village, and I appreciate the input from the various groups, again, as you said, focused on that safety, student safety, faculty safety, staff safety, and community safety.
And this is a very informational age, but somebody's going to show up on Thursday moving in. What will happen to them?
We will work with them, and absolutely it will happen. Someone will say, I don't read email,
right.
And my aging head blows up when I hear those things, Lisa. But I understand, someone could say, look, I left Reno, Nevada on Monday,
right.
And I didn't check my email until I got here. We will definitely deal with that. We have some folks that have said, I can't change my plane arrangements. It's very difficult to fly to the United States internationally. And we have international students that will clearly say, there's no way I can change this flight. It took me 2 months to get it. We will deal with that. We'll work with move-in. But they will be taking their courses online for those first 3 weeks from their residence hall room, which has really good Wi-Fi connection and other things that, some of our students don't have at home.
Eastern Michigan University President Dr. James Smith, thanks so much for talking to us here on 89.1 WEMU.
Lisa, thank you as always, and have a great day.